Good evening and welcome to Yellow Dogs. Another night of meditation.
Would you do a sound check? Make sure they can hear you.
Can everyone hear me? Is there anyone who can't? Good. Great. Everybody tuned in? I may be saying something you've never heard before, but actually, that's not going to be the case, because what I'm going to talk about tonight is something that we've heard over and over and over again.
It's always the first time.
There's always the first time.
It is always,
but we forget about that, Randy. We forget. That's why we've got a system, a mind and a body, that has to be reminded. And nothing's wrong with that if we understand that that is what it's going to take. So, what are we going to talk about tonight? Well, what causes most of our suffering? I mean, that's a big, big one. If we want to shift anything in our suffering, what could it be? What could be a priority? So the Buddhist masters tell us that at least a high percent, 99, 95, 96, of our suffering comes from others. No. Seeing if you're paying attention. Actually, it's coming from our own mind. Our own mind. It's where we self-inflict most of our suffering. And we kind of have to be convinced of that, you know, when we start sitting. But it doesn't take us long to realize what happens when the mind is in charge and we don't intervene. So maybe we need a little bit more convincing. So we can just ask ourselves, let's just reflect, what drives me the most crazy? I'm not going to say Randy. That would not be very polite. No, I'm going to say the mind. And you're going to say the very same thing. So we're not confused about this. We know that this crazy mind of us is causing most of our suffering. And we're beginning to know what to do with it. We don't need to really argue that the mind makes us crazy, but we do need to find ways to remind ourselves to look at what's happening in the mind constantly. It needs close supervision. Close supervision. Because when it is on automatic, of course, it's in conditioning, our conditioning state, and there's no telling what happens without our awareness of it. So to remind ourselves to look at what's happening in the mind that's doing that. Doing what? Well, that's driving us crazy. And so this process helps us to do just that. And it's not easy. So we need ways to convince ourselves that it's time to mind the mind. And after we hear many times some qualities of the mind, then we look for ourselves to see if this is true. We're not going to take anybody's word for it, but the teachings say we're not our minds. Thank goodness. The mind is not wise. Not always wise. I'm not going to say never. But we really can't rely on our minds for deep wisdom that helps us to know how to live with the mind without it driving us crazy. But the mind needs a solution. And that's okay. That's what minds are. They're helping us out to solve the riddles of the universe or all our problems. Where it comes to find out, that might not be the best way. So the mind analyzes and divides. And what I found is it makes up things. If I see something and it's not a complete story or even a complete sentence, then, you know, I just fill in the blanks sometimes. I've noticed myself just filling in the blanks to come up with a good story, you know, or a conclusion. So those are the things we want to look for. Is this true about my mind? Because it's important that we understand the nature of our own minds. And it's not the enemy, because we all know the mind is useful. But how do we convince ourselves that this is something we really need to grab a hold of? To be more aware what our minds are saying to ourselves. And where exactly is the mind causing the suffering or the dissatisfaction or dukkha? For example, let's look at our minds right now. Is our mind calm right now? Could be agitated. Is there a warning mind? An aversive mind. We begin to identify these mind states that keep us trapped. Not to do anything except to recognize them and to allow them and to investigate how they are actually felt in the human body. And that nurtures us, helps us be able to manage our minds. And it can be pretty confused at times. But the main thing is, if you know one mind, you know all minds. What? You mean my mind's like Randy's mind? Yes, Randy's mind's like my mind. And we can begin to notice, is the mind calm? Or is it confused? I mean, we can take this mind out to the twilight zone, you know, where it will take us if we're willing to go. So nothing can describe what we are going through as human beings with trying to manage our minds than what Bhante Ji says, and you've heard it from me many times, and you're going to hear it again, crazy mind. Somewhere in this process, you will come face to face with the sudden and shocking realization that you are completely crazy. Your mind. Holly, I heard that. That was. All right, well, let me finish, okay? No, I mean, because it is shocking. Shocking realization. Your mind is a shrinking, gibbering madhouse on wheels, barreling pell-mell down the hill, utterly out of control and hopeless. No problem. It has always been this way, and you've just never noticed. because we don't go around noticing our minds. You are also no crazier than everybody else around you. The only real difference is that you have confronted the situation and others have not. So that's where we are. We've seen enough within in looking closely at our minds to see the nature of the mind. So what does insight meditation recommend for us to do? Well, we know one of the big things, of course, is our daily sitting practice. It's a must. It doesn't have to be long, drawn out. It can be short and easy. But to set up some kind of, and we're going to fail, so we're just going to set an intention. We're not going to set a goal because, you know, it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. It's no big deal. But our intention is, let's see if I can sit daily. Okay, maybe just for 5 minutes. Or just being still. That's what helps more than anything. It is being still. And so that's another way of working with the crazy mind. It is to find ways to pause, because there can be a pause. And within that pause, what we begin to realize is that we have control. We're not reactive to the mind. Or we have the choice of not being reactive to the mind. But again, this has to be something we really, really want to do. So, finding a pause so that we can check. If there's one thing I can truly say that Randy says to me a lot, now I get where I say it to him too, is he'll say, what's the attitude of your mind right now? And that's usually when he can read my body language. And it really pisses me off, needless to say, because I have to come to terms. What is my... And thank goodness I've gotten over it. He hasn't. It's hard for him. It's hard for him when I say, what's your attitude? No, it's not. I'm picking on him tonight. I'm sorry, Randy. I'm stopping. So what is our attitude of our minds? That is important knowledge. Am I anxious? Well, just say it. I'm anxious. I had a friend come over the other day, and she just had eye surgery, and she says, my eye hurts, and I'm in a bad mood. And I thought, I'm so glad she said that so that I wouldn't take anything through what she was feeling personally. She just named it. And we have aversive minds. We have comparing minds. We have wishing minds. Confused minds. And all the minds are okay. We're not saying you got to get rid of them. You couldn't get rid of them even if you wanted to. You don't get rid of your crazy mind. You manage it. You begin to live with it in a way that you haven't lived with it in the past. So we don't have to stuff our minds. So another thing is to set the insight timer for, I don't know what, a couple hours or an hour, I don't know. And when it goes off, to pause. That hadn't be a long pause. Be a 10-second pause. But these are the daily habits that we can get into that support the effort that we're setting intentions to do from the cushion, from sitting. Because what happens with the daily practice I mean, we can get stuck. Some people say, no, it doesn't work. Well, you know what my teachers always said to me? Well, you're not paying attention, you know. If it's not working, you're just not paying attention. You know, there's something going on. So, our set markers. You know, there's many things that we do on automatic during the day. So we could set a marker, you know, the first sip of the coffee in the morning. Or the first time we flip on a light. Or we start the car. Or we open a door. Or we brush our teeth. Or we open the refrigerator door. So, or shutting a door. And these are really easy ways, user-friendly ways that will help us promote what we want to do for ourselves. If we don't know what our attitude of mind is, we're going to be on automatic. We're just going to let impulse, just going to let conditioning lead the show. And guess what? We're not our conditioning. So is that freedom? No, that's what the Buddha was talking about. You don't have freedom if you're just reacting to all your conditioning. It's not freedom. The freedom comes from recognizing and allowing and investigating these habits and conditionings and ruts that we've gotten in. I'm talking to myself, you understand, that we have found ourselves in. The mind could, and it will, carry us away at any given moment. We know. So for us to let go and move on without being caught in this attitude is important. If we notice a very strong emotion or attitude that seems to linger, then we can bring in our acronym RAIN. And this group has studied that. We work on that. And we can sometimes, all it takes is recognizing it. All it takes for Randy to say, what's your attitude of mind right now? That's all it took. And then it's like, oh, I'm willing. You know, I'm willing. What is it? Because it took a while for me to appreciate it. It took me a while. I won't say what I did, but it's not very nice. So recognizing, allowing, investigating, and we're taught to investigate instead of taking it to my mind or head, then we take it to our bodies and we directly experience what life has given us. We don't experience it directly in the mind. We only can experience it within the body because that's all we've been given. We've just been given this body with all the six senses, including thinking, to perceive our whole life. So, these strong emotions, when I'm one that's quick to anger. So when my anger is triggered, I do bring in RAIN. But sometimes I just have to recognize, oh, hello, anger. There you are. Before it creates what it can create. So it's putting some space in any reactions that can follow. And that is something we have to intend to do. because we are conditioned in, as you well know, in this culture to do it faster than fast. Sooner. Other cultures don't have to deal with this. You know, other minds aren't conditioned this way, but we are. We know we are conditioned in that way. And another thing that I do is I talk to my mind. Mind, hello, mind. Oh, I see you. You know, uh-oh, mind. Just bringing up that the mind is there and that recognizing it, it's not me. It goes away. I mean, that part of mind state, whatever it is that's bugging me, it goes away. It's not me. It's phenomena. And so that's what we learn in practicing is we're full of phenomena. That we have been conditioned to think of who we are. So what we do is we begin to go from head to toe and we begin to look very closely, honestly, and consistently at what is going on inside. For one reason, that's the only place that we'll find peace. We won't find it anywhere else. So, we are not our minds, but our minds need us. They need our consciousness. It needs our awareness. And so with that, I'm going to stop. Thank you for being good listeners. And Randy's going to come over and then we will open it up to you.